Kia ora koutou and welcome to Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive arts show, brought to you every Sunday night here on Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. I'm your host, Paula Crimmins, and my gorgeous co-host, Georgia Parker, standing in for Richard Green, who's gone walkabout again. Do you know where he's gone?
I don't know, actually. I don't know, but I did see a video, a photo on my Facebook and Instagram of him dressed up like a giant baby today.
Oh.
So that was good.
That doesn't give me any clues at all where he is.
It was good. I can recommend people looking that up.
Okay, we'll check it out when we look at the Facebook page. But we have a fab lineup for you tonight, so let's have a quick go around and see who's who. Starting off with Arlo Green. Kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
You're here to talk about, how do you pronounce it?
Here.
Here.
Yeah.
So that's on at the Silo. Tell us a little bit about that.
Here is a show about an American family that kind of destroys itself. It's really funny, but... pretty dark. No, I know.
Okay.
It hides the darkness under the comedy, and I think it's an amazing bit of writing, and Silo do... the best work. Not being biased, but
no, of course not.
The best work, and it's on at the Herald Theatre in August the 2nd to the 25th.
And what's your involvement with it, Arlo?
I play a character called Isaac. He's the son of the family, the prodigal son. He comes home from war after 3 years in Afghanistan, and the whole family has changed the dynamic. He grew up with an abusive father who's now had a stroke, and the mother is taking it upon herself to feed the father estrogen and dress him up in makeup. And
wow. What is it, like as a kind of payback or something?
Kind of. And his sister is transitioning and is now his brother. And it's a pretty disorientating place for Isaac to come into, but the play is just what unfolds after his arrival.
Right. And can you explain the title a little bit to me?
Here is a gender pronoun.
Right.
It's a non-binary pronoun for those who don't identify as male or female.
How right. is it spelled?
H-I-R.
Pronoun. H-I-R.
Yeah,
I've
pronoun.
Never heard that before, and I thought
I guess it's a mix of him and her.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and the playwright talks about how it's kind of, it means a lot of things, like not just the gender pronoun, but here, as in the physical place. And
here and now?
Yeah, kind of.
So is it from the perspective of the transitioning sibling? Are they like the...
It's kind of the perspective of all of them.
Right.
It's just about, I don't know, old versus new, past versus the future, and... responsibility we have to things that have hurt us, and whether we just leave them behind or we try and take care of them and fix things.
Right. Well, that's great. I certainly look forward to hearing a little bit more about that in just a minute. So welcome to Richard Manick, who's come to us to talk about a couple of things and also hopefully to play a bit on the ukulele. So Richard, what's going on? Tell us about the big family fun day.
Oh, yeah. Firstly, my name is Captain Festus McBoyle, and I am part of a vaudeville musical troupe.
Oh, sorry.
And that's all right. And we are putting on a family fun day. It's been sponsored by the Faux Local Board.
Right.
And it's a free event for the whole family. It consists of vaudeville comedy, which is my lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got circus entertainment by Le Cirque de JP, who's a French mime juggling crazy man. He's wonderful, he is. So he's playing. And then we've got Otis Mace, the guitar race. He's playing with his band called the 1B4s. He's been around for a long time. Very iconic, quirky pop song writer. Supported the likes of Billy Bragg and people like that. He's been around a long time. He's very, very good. So it's a mashup. It's a mashup of rock and roll, vaudeville comedy and circus. And it's also going to have a kids' disco.
Lovely.
We managed to... Hoodwink Lee from 95 BFM Kids Show. He's coming in for doing a disco for the kids, and we'll have face painting, and there'll be plenty of food available. And it's at the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre on August the 11th.
And is it all free?
It's all free.
So how did you do that? Because that sounds like quite a lineup.
Well, it's our third. It's a concept that we kind of came up with, and it's our third one. The first one we did it ourselves. And so we took the expenses for that one and took a punt.
Right.
That was at the King's Arms, and that was hugely successful. 450 yep. people. And it was all $10 a ticket, so it worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
A massive day. And then we thought, okay, well, how can we make this free? So we went to a property company and then also to an RSA, and we held it at the RSA, and it was sponsored by the both of them. And that way we managed to do it for free,
yeah,
just with one act. And then I went to the Faux Local Board, and we put together this one, which has brought the entire mashup together,
yeah,
and enabled us to do it for free.
It sounds great. So it's just kind of organically grown over
it has.
The years.
It's a concept we came up with a little while ago. The idea is that once this has been proven, it's a template, which it has. It's onto its third one now, and it's been successful every time. Basically, we can travel this all over New Zealand,
yeah,
to all communities and all through all the different local boards. We've got a few surprises coming up. We're trying to rope the wizard in for one in Christchurch.
Oh, really? And, where is it, the wizard, these days? You never hear from him.
I was actually bound by the black spot with me and Miss Lucy Draws. We got married up on the Tussock Hill with the old wizard about a year ago. And he's doing good. He's in his 80s, and he's...
Because I was down there recently and didn't...
He's a little ball of fire, that man.
Is he?
Oh, yes. He don't stop.
No. So you're going to get him along as well? You're going
to
go down the south?
Him along for the Christchurch one. We're talking about that now with the deputy wizard, who's a chap called Ari Freeman.
Deputy wizard?
Yeah, deputy.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Is he in training?
Well, I think he's equally as naughty as the other one.
Oh, really?
they're two brothers from a previous life, I think. So they're basically talking about getting involved, so that's something we're working on as well. But we're going to start with this one first.
Yeah.
Blockhouse Bay, it's going to go off like a rocket.
It sounds great.
There's only 350 people allowed in.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You
snooze, you lose. That's simple.
So do people have to buy tickets, or is it just turn
free.
Up on the day?
First in, first served.
Okay.
Get in a door quick.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. Well, it's always good to have things at this time of year, isn't it? Especially things that you can take the family to.
Oh, absolutely. Daytime things.
Well, it's great because you can see a live band. You don't have to get a babysitter, and you can drag the kids along, and they get to be inspired by good musicians, and they get to see something for them as well.
Yeah. And then there's a disco and everything.
It's a win-win. Oh, and it's face painting too.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, she's my cleaning lady. She's called Ethel. She's never face painted before in her life. So it could go either way. It's $5 a face, and you take your chances.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be the start of a wonderful career.
Actually, I'll tell a lie. She's actually done this a lot before, and she's very, very good.
Oh, you're very naughty.
No, I know.
Ethel, sorry about
that. It's knowledge, really.
And Georgia, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've actually, just while we're on the topic of, not the topic, but the show you were just talking about, Arlo, I love that name, just by the way. I'm really bad with names, but I remember your name because you're Richard, like Richard Green, the...
Who is he again? Oh, that Richard.
And Arlo, like, favourite name.
Last name is Green, so...
Exactly.
Crikey.
I was going to say, technically, that's two dicks, really, isn't it?
Yeah. A dick too many.
Two green dicks.
Anyway, Georgia.
Too much. That was great. So the show that you're doing... here, HIR.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of this show that I started watching today that everybody has to go watch. It is incredible. It's called Pose on Neon. Has anyone seen it?
No, I've never heard of it.
So good. So it's called Pose, and it's about the queer community in the 80s, and it's all like written by, directed, all the actors are people like identifying with it in the LGBTQI community.
Is it American?
It's American, which is like quite unique. I know that was something that they strive to do on Transparent, but I know like Scarlett Johansson's recently been under fire because she got...
Oh, she dropped out.
Apart. Yeah. Of a transgender male, and
she could easily pass. Though I was looking at her picture.
Yeah,
I know that's not the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
the point being that there are not enough opportunities for transgender or gender non-conforming artists out in the world, or you know, jobs in general. So everyone should go and watch it because it's really
Pose on Neon.
But I was thinking that actually if somebody was interested to come and see your show, but they were like, hey, maybe I don't really know like the lingo and stuff. Maybe I don't, you know, people get a bit scared when they don't know stuff like anything about the community. People should go and watch Pose, watch an episode of that, because you learn all about like lingo.
But I guess that this her is about the whole family, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about it. I particularly like the idea of the abusive father having a stroke and then being at the mercy of everybody payback time.
I think it's quite interesting because when you hear the blurb or the synopsis, you go in immediately knowing who you're going to side with.
Oh, really?
But by the end of it, you feel like you don't know who to side
with. Oh, okay.
And that the,
so that's good writing, eh?
Yeah, that's amazing. The playwright, Taylor Mack, whose preferred pronoun is Judy, has written such a balanced piece that it provides a pretty good argument for everyone's perspective, even
the horrible father.
Which you never think you would actually start to sympathise with or side with, but you flip flop between everyone, and
right.
That's the saddest part of the whole thing.
I mean, I definitely heard that was the kind of definition of good playwriting, and I always find it difficult, and I sometimes disagree with it, that every you should be able to identify with every character.
Yeah.
But you're
complex characters kind of a thing? Or?
Well, no, so that that in any play, even the worst character, you should be able to find a like. They should have redeeming qualities. Mm. And I guess I feel like, do you think that everybody has redeeming qualities? You know, I mean, I know there's people who only their mum loves, that kind of thing. But it tends to be, it tends to be talked about a lot in playwriting circles. Yeah. You've got, you know, this character has got, you know, you can't have anyone that's totally evil. But he's obviously done that with this play.
Yeah, he's written a female role that isn't, you know, reductive or a 2D strong female lead, is that she's dislikable and she's complex and she goes through the range of emotions and experiences that only male characters usually get to.
Right.
And the same with the trans character, is that it's a full realised person.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to something reductive, which is all we sort of get in writing these days.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changing, and I think plays like this are leading the way.
And is it a four-hander? Is it just the four of them?
Yeah, it's just the four of them, unfortunately, which gets kind of claustrophobic because there's no relief. It's them four on stage pretty much the whole time, boiling up until they all implode at the end. And it's a real brutal ending, real brutal. But it's funny, though.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
Sounds like my world.
Yeah.
Brutal but funny.
It's funny and imploding and brutal all at the same time. It sounds very intriguing, doesn't it, Georgia?
Yeah, because it sounds in the synopsis that you've given. I can't say that word.
Synopsis.
It's a tricky one, yeah.
The little blurb you've written.
Yeah, the short version.
Yeah. it sounds moving. But it sounds like a lot. It sounds heavy, but is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah. It is quite heavy. I just think that it's even though it's a slightly absurdist piece, it's like quite realistic in the drama.
Mm.
And you know, you don't need to have someone die on stage for it to be sad. The simple act of someone having dinner alone, you know, like if you I just think it's subtle but big, and it's a bit contradictory, but yeah.
No.
It's really hard to define this play, which sometimes is a bad thing, but in this case it's an amazing thing, because it's not trying to be everything at once, it just kind of is.
Yeah.
But I think that idea that, you know, there's a war out there, but also we all recognise war within our families,
yeah,
don't we?
Totally.
And just how vicious that can be, and
I'm
painful.
I didn't say that because that's really good. Yeah. You summed that up real nicely.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
But it is like that, and then people come along and they can say, "Well, I recognise how the lines are drawn," and people, get stuck.
Is this its first show?
It's his first showing here in New Zealand, yeah, but it's been done in London, it's been done in Australia, it's been done in New York, I think that's where it premiered. But definitely first time this playwright's work has been done in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where is it set?
It's set in a place called Stockton, California, which is like got the highest crime rate in America. It's a real, real bad place. I think they just came out of bankruptcy. High meth addiction rates, which is what my character's, he suffers from meth addiction and PTSD.
It's quite a combo.
It is.
Yeah. A killer 1-2 punch for sure, but...
I'm just thinking of, you know, that whole Rust Belt part of America that turned to Trump, isn't it?
It definitely, is that sort of forgotten place and the part of America that's left to just eat itself alive.
Right, oh gosh.
To that, set in 2012 sort of thing, 6 years ago.
So I guess not that long after the 2008 crash, so people
exactly.
walking away
exactly.
from their houses, yeah. weren't they? I found that unbelievable that they would just leave their houses that they owned because they couldn't pay the mortgage and just leave the keys. And so there was whole swathes of houses that were empty, like ghost towns. And
well, the house is a character in itself. The set,
oh, is it?
The set designed by John Wright is amazing. In that
I love him as a designer. I always notice his design.
He's fantastic. Everyone on the creative team is just like effortless. The director, Sophie Roberts, all of them are just like magic at what they do, and I have to try real hard just to keep up. But,
what a team.
Yeah.
So tell us about the set.
The set is just, I don't know if I'm allowed to like give it away, but anyway, you come in, and because when he comes home, because his father's kept it so tidy and so clean, you know, he'd break their fingers if they left a single dirty dish in the sink. The whole place is a tip, like mountains of clothes and stuff like that. And I just think as a human, it's interesting to see that.
Yeah.
It's really a hoarder's place. There's, you know, rotten food on the floor, just posters, drawings everywhere. Just everything's not where it's supposed to be.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I can get a location map for the houses where people have left because I'm looking for a new gaff. So you can set me up, you know.
If we need to do a trailer, we might ask if we can film at yours. But it's as an actor, it's a beautiful place because you really get lost in it. You know, you don't have to pretend at all because it's all really, really there. And it's just it's a really interesting fly on the wall situation. I think.
Yeah. And you've enjoyed playing that character.
Kind of, I think.
Is it something that you're familiar with? Have you done that kind of character before?
I usually play villains and stuff, and so it's this character isn't really villainous.
You look like a villain.
Yeah.
Could be that big tail on your forehead.
Oh, yeah.
What's it say?
Villain.
Actually, you were talking about trailers. I was thinking, I've got a trailer for sale. Do you like a buy and sell on the show?
Not on the show. We strictly keep away from
box
that.
Trailer.
Otherwise, I'd be on here every week trying to sell stuff.
Put all your stuff in it, you know. Get away real quick. It's black too. You wouldn't see it at night time. Perfect for you.
Thanks for that. But yes, sorry. We'll come back to you. It's Captain Festus, isn't it?
Yeah, the man with the loud mouth. That's me.
Well, what should I call you?
Captain, you can call me sir if you like that. I quite like that. It makes me feel quite powerful. See, because I'm sitting on this tiny little seat and you're about 3 foot higher than me, I think you should call me sir.
That's not the way it is,
get me through
really.
The night, that way.
So we're kind of going a little bit from the sublime to the ridiculous, moving on.
Oh, you asked me, invited me on.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, I've heard of you before seeing you.
Yeah, it's all bad, I'm sure.
So, Captain Festus... and you have a sidekick, don't you, usually?
Oh, I have numerous sidekicks. I'm on the third wife. So
are you?
Guitarist.
So it's a family affair now.
It is a family affair. Literally, it's a five-piece act at the moment. We have my lovely wife, Miss Lucy Drawls, who is a beautifully powdered-faced lady. Other than I. And then we've got the most effeminate strong man in the world called Ebenezer Strong. He's been trying to pick me up for years, but he ain't that strong.
No.
And also we've got a bipolar rat called Mr. Cheese, and he is off the planet.
And what does he play?
He plays the fool, basically. You got it. Down on the head. And we've got Ethel, who is the cleaning lady, and she is responsible for health
the
and
face
safety.
Face painter.
And face painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're a five-piece troupe. We travel generally all over the place as a three-piece. But, yeah, we're quite an oddball bunch of characters. Very odd. But, you know, we ain't judgmental.
No.
So we are about celebrating differences. And we embrace the weirdness. That's what we do.
And you play the ukulele.
I do. I didn't say I play it very well, but I brought it with me.
But
it makes me more convincing.
What do other people play in the band? What does the lovely lady wife play?
It's pretty much acoustic bass. So we have guitarist, play a little bit of ukulele, a little bit of banjo on the odd song, and a lot of percussion. The wife plays the suitcase drum.
Oh,
and
nice.
I play a bit of tambourine. She plays the kazoo.
Kazoo.
Yeah, well, you know, we've not practiced for years for some of the stuff we play. You know, we don't mess around with this fancy stuff. We're just in with the hardcore stuff. So, yeah, we're, I like to think we're pretty good at what we do. All original songs. There's about 40 songs.
Oh, really?
We're top end. I think we're top end.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people call me a knob end. I think I'm top end.
You can be both.
Well, yeah.
So shall we have a little tune?
I'd like to start with a poem, if that's all right.
Oh no, that would be lovely. I'd love a poem.
Beat poem.
Yep.
All right then. This is a little beat poem. It's called Jack Sprat, the Crooked Eyed Cat. Jack Sprat was a crooked eyed cat, and out in a chair in the sun he was sat. He was big, black and furry and covered in fleas, long in the tooth and with four dodgy knees. Not built for speed, more of a thinker. Back in his youth, a notorious drinker. Now old Jack Sprat, he knew where it was at. And whilst out in the sun on his chair he was sat, he was making a plan in between all the snoring. And old Jack Sprat, well, he was never boring. He was dreaming of rats in a frying pan and making a deal with a milkman called Stan. Full cream to the roof of a two-storied house, whilst nibbling the meat from the bones of a deep-fried mouse. How divine. His chair sits next to the washing line. Knickers and socks all dusted and clean. Goodness me, sir, oh, what a dream. Look at him go, snoring away. Not a care in the world. There you go.
Oh, thank you. Do we have poetry on the show very often?
Not as often as I would like.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I actually really enjoy just sitting and listening to it.
That was really beautiful, and you also have a very beautiful book that people can't see because it's radio.
Tell us about the book.
It's a photo album, I believe. And I found
what do you mean you believe?
Shop.
Is it not yours?
Well, no, it's got little bits in there for your tissue for your photos. So I took all the little tissue bits out, apart from that one, because I have got a snotty nose. and I put me little poems in there.
Oh,
and,
that's so smart.
Good.
It's so beautiful. It's like, people can't see it, it's like the soft brown leather. It looks like, you know, like the outside of...
You're not talking about my facial skin, are you?
It's like what a pirate would have.
Well, exactly. There you go.
I think I paid about $1 for that.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm a big op shop fan. I'm a bit of a hoarder. I do collect
things. So you actually like the idea of the stage that Arlo was describing?
Well, I have been known to wear a dress, and I am quite convincing, apart from the beard.
But all the stuff everywhere.
Well, I can relate to that part.
Yeah.
Sounds as though you travel a lot, but do you... To have so many things to keep, you must have a base as well. So you base around
here. I do.
I
have the Pirate HQ.
And where's that?
Chatterton Peninsula.
On a boat?
That's where all
pirates. No, in a garden. In the shed. But we're very happy there, me and the wife, Miss Lucy Jules, and our little monkey called Awa. She's six.
Oh, isn't she going to be part of the band?
Well, she is. She's going to be our cheeky little monkey.
Oh, right.
We're training her up. She is quite cheeky.
It sounds like a family
affair.
She looks
a bit like a monkey.
Yeah. So, Georgia, have you been seeing anything on stage recently?
I did not get time to see anything this week because I was working at Kendrick Lamar. I've got a Kendrick Lamar jumper on. So
what
I
is
saw
Kendrick
that.
Lamar?
I saw that twice.
What is
it? He's a big rapper. And he played two sold-out shows at
Postal
Spark
Parcels.
Arena. Yeah, he's like a big rolled lolly.
Has he been here?
He's a rapper, yeah, and he's doing a big world tour right now. Currently, I think he's playing Splendor in the Grass, which is just the most impressive lineup ever in Australia. I think it's in Sydney. But, yeah, he played Thursday, Friday night and sold out Spark Arena, which just does hardly ever happen.
Gosh, I didn't even know.
That would happen, like, what, maybe 3 or 4 times a year that someone would say, apart from this year, because you were like Cher and Shania and Pink. And,
actually,
like,
I just saw Mamma Mia and I'm dying to see.
I saw it today. It was so good.
Did you like it?
It was so good. I know that I'm losing street cred right now.
Sorry.
But I went and saw it there, and I cried a lot.
Well, you must have heard ABBA are reforming.
I know, it's the best news.
But there was a lot of the songs I didn't know. I guess they used all the really good ones in the first one.
Is that a part of your review?
And I was there in the 70s, and there were some of them I didn't recognise.
But in a good way? Were you like, ooh, I like this song? Or were you like, ugh, don't know this one?
No, I wasn't yuck at all, because I did, you know, because it's a great feel-good movie, and it was just what I needed. But I was just like, oh, I don't know this one. I was there, I should know this one.
Who was your favourite?
Cher. I'm just answering.
In the movie?
No, in ABBA.
The ABBA. Well, I love Dancing Queen, and they did it again in this one, and they did it in the original one.
But did you have a favourite member of ABBA?
Oh, well, both Bjorn and Benny were in the movie.
Yeah.
Who's Bjorn?
Well, one of the guys, and Benny is the other one. Yeah, they were both in it.
Was one of them one of the teachers?
Yes.
Oh, I'm ruining everyone. Yeah. Okay, I'm not.
It's okay. Yeah.
The next bit.
Yeah. And they look great. Unbelievably good.
It was worth going to. I would recommend that to any. It's funny, and it's also heart-moving. It's a family movie.
It is a family movie. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's fun. Everyone loves ABBA.
But everyone. I haven't been to see any live music for eons, but I am reasonably tempted by going to see Cher.
Oh, Cher will be... I love Cher. Hey, but you know what we should say about some local music?
Oh, yes.
We've had Sal Valentine in on the show a couple of times, and he's awesome. And he is releasing a single called Maxine, and it's so good. And the single release party is coming up this Saturday at Whammy Bar, and the tickets are $10, which I think is very worthwhile to support a local musician.
But absolutely.
I'm so excited. His new album, I think, is called Cherry Blossom, and he has a release called Cherry Blossom, which I thought was pretty good. But Maxine is also awesome, and when the video clip comes out, I'm actually in it.
So are all these details going to be on the Kick Arts Facebook page?
I will do that.
I think you should.
Yeah, because it's just really good. Actually, and I realised after I said that I'm not self-promoting, because actually I'm going to be terrible in the video clip.
So oh, you're in the video clip.
Not listen to that. Not watch it. Just listen to the song.
Sorry, I didn't hear the bit where you said in the video.
In the video clip. I was like, because he was like, oh, I don't know if people are going to come. And I was like, oh, help a mate out. Oh, turn up. There's so many people there. I definitely did not need to go. And I had to do acting. It was not good. But the video clip is good.
So
it will be good.
Much a drag leading my glamorous life.
It's not glamorous at all. And when you see it, you're going to be like, you're going to feel really bad secondhand embarrassment. But the song, it's called Maxine. It's by Sal Valentine. It's really good. People should go listen to it.
Brilliant.
Is anyone going to Queens of the Stone Age?
No.
No?
No.
You're going to go. I'm assuming you're excited.
I am.
Of course.
I tell you, speaking of excitement, I went and saw Brian Jonestown Massacre the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
that was intensely good.
Did they come?
Yeah.
What?
It was like 3 hours.
Where were they on?
At the power station.
How did I not know this? Their new album is so good.
It was a train wreck, but he was good.
Did he start any fights with anyone? Or?
Oh, he told his drummer he was out of time, and he told his guitarist he was out of tune, and he took about 10 minutes between every song trying to twiddle his knobs on his amp.
Really?
But once they got going, he was amazing. That tambourine player was amazing. He didn't fall over. It was quite... out of this world.
So definitely worth seeing. So we've got to music gigs now. Have you seen anything good lately, Arlo?
I saw The Killers.
I wasn't there.
I'm like not a huge fan.
You hang out with the right dodgy bunch, don't you? Villains and Killers.
It's going to get into character.
And I'm not like a huge fan, but I think Brandon Flowers, the lead singer, has some of the best stage presence I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Oh, amazing. He's something else in real life. Yeah.
And that's something to say that if you're not a huge fan as well.
Yeah, I was completely won over. Not that I'm like listening to them now or stuff, just but as a once-off.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You know, you can tell how hard he's worked at his craft, and it's
I'll tell you what, charisma. Have you seen Boots Electric? Charisma. Eagles of Death Metal.
No.
That is charisma. That is pure rock and roll sauce. That is. Boots Electric.
Boots Electric.
Blow your mind.
Great title.
He's not a villain
that.
Or a killer, though.
I can't.
So
well, not my sort
of
thing.
You're a metal fan.
No, I'm not a music fan.
He's a classical music fan.
It's like good performance.
You know, you're a ukulele like fan.
Flamboyant people. Yeah, well, I can't play guitars. So I have to settle for what I can do.
My dad plays ukulele, and he once told me, I think he was trying to be nice, because I listen to a lot of music, but I'm not very talented musically. My hand-eye coordination, terrible. Not a good driver either. But he once told me that to play the ukulele, you just need to be able to play the C chord.
You don't need much more than that.
Yeah.
So we're agreeing.
That's pretty good. And I can do that, I think.
Shall we have a little bit of ukulele?
Would you be happy with that?
I would
so
love
have
to.
Have a little bit of a wriggle too.
Yeah.
What about a hula song?
A hula song?
A hula song.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have a go.
Now, do we have to make sure it's right up next to the mic?
Do you want two microphones? Do you want a mouth mic and a ukulele mic?
Yeah, I've got a big mouth. I generally just use the one.
Okay, cool.
Okay, let's hit it.
Probably good you don't hear too much of the ukulele because I'm bleeding terrible.
Such a self-promoter.
Hula hula lady, hula's all the time. Hula by the river.
By your wriggling. Oh, that was quite good.
I was wondering, are there any sad songs on the ukulele? Because it's such a happy instrument.
The first three chords you learn on ukulele, C.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? I think it's an F.
G.
And G.
Yeah. I know that one too, I think.
There you go.
What's written on the back of the ukulele?
Ah, that's my address, so I know where to go home.
Oh,
I'm a bit forgetful when I'm getting on a bit. And actually, I'm going in for a hip operation. In about, the end of the month, I'm having my hip replaced.
Really?
Too much rock and roll.
You're very young.
Yeah.
Oh, no, too much rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. Does a pirate with a hip operation.
Is that a part of rock and roll, hip, moving your hips, like Shakira?
Well, I've had this weird habit, actually. Can I share my weird habit with you?
Cause I'd like to hear it.
This one's a family-based one.
Okay.
Apparently, since I was born, when I lay in bed, I get quite content and I like to wriggle my hips.
Is that it?
And I do that, and I've done that forever. In fact, my mum told me the other day, she said, you know, you were bleeding annoying when you slept in our bed because you wouldn't stop bleeding wriggling. I said, well, to be honest with you, mum, I'm even more bleeding annoying now because I still haven't stopped wriggling. And I do it when I get in the bed. I just wriggle.
That's not to do with you needing a new hip then. It hasn't worn
that side out from wriggling. And I've actually burnt out my bone, and I've got two little spurs, and I've burnt out all the cartilage, and it just rubs like that. So, consequently, I basically crawl after a gig.
Okay.
So I'm getting my hip replaced. I'm going to be all bionic-like.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, so are you going to be off the scene for a while then, Festus?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll be there with bells on regardless. I'll have a crutch and I'll wobble around and I'll just meander a little bit more than what I...
And cut out the wriggling, for goodness sake.
That was such
who knew?
Well, that's what my partner said
to me
last night. She said, if you can cut that wriggling out, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
How long do you wriggle for? Like, is it
until I fall asleep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's so amazing. Because, you know, like people rub their feet together. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, well, that's what she does. So she's equally, my wife is equally bleeding annoying.
Well, she's
going to
need an ankle replacement.
They say it takes 7 minutes to fall asleep. So you're wriggling. How do you fall asleep while you're wriggling? This is just my mind.
I wish I knew. I wouldn't have burnt out my hip.
Well, it's like some people need things to be very still and dark, don't they? And some people like to have movement and music going and stuff like that.
When I met my wife, I thought, you know, perfect. She's bleeding annoying with a little toe wriggling thing, and I'm the hip thing. And it was quite nice about the first
marriage made in heaven.
I call that the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
And then, we basically drive each other bonkers now.
Yeah.
But I love her dearly.
That sounds good.
She's a good woman.
All right, so I was thinking of telling you all about my favourite author, because I love this guy, and it's coming out of the Wizard discussion. Talking about the Wizard, because I was down in Christchurch recently, and in the square, and I hadn't been in Christchurch since before the the earthquake, and I actually thought it was lovely. I was expecting it to be really horrible, but I did miss seeing him in the square. He wasn't
in
the square.
Well, he's got sore feet.
Oh, really?
He's got sore feet at the moment, and he don't like the cold.
Right, well, yeah, exactly. No, I was at the end of the summer I was there. Apparently. So he doesn't go into claim in the middle of Cathedral Square anymore.
Well, last time we met him, we sat in a cafe and just sat there talking about stuff and having pots of tea.
Right.
It was actually quite civil. I met his wife. She's a nun, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a whole dynasty.
She's a nice woman.
Well, the book that the range of books that I've just got into are by a guy called Ben Aaronovich. And they're basically Harry Potter for grown-ups.
Ooh.
And,
what do you mean, Harry Potter's not for grown-ups?
Well, these are for grown-ups, so there's sex and violence in them. There's no sex and violence in Harry Potter.
There's violence.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Depends how you view it.
And they're basically police stories set in, you know, this and they're all largely London-based. The writer adores London. And the one I'm reading at the moment is set, that a lot of the action takes place in the underground. And that's been mined, you know, Neil Gaiman mined it for, it's got loads of potential for writing. But anyway, I'm completely obsessed with them. I'm on to the third one. I think there's six. And this guy is still very much writing them. So always like to get a good series.
That sounds good.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's great. It's good. It's funny, actually. It's very funny.
Good series. Detectorists.
Yes. Oh, yes. I started watching it, but I couldn't get into it.
If you like Slice of Life, sort of English humour, it's...
It's an unfortunate name, Detectorists.
Well, they're on metal detectors.
Oh.
So it's all about that. It's all tied in with that and discovering archaeological finds.
But they're kind. But it's gentle humour, isn't it?
Very
yeah.
Gentle.
So you've got to.
It's good.
So, humour, Arlo. I'm still trying to get to where the humour is in here.
Well, I guess the situations they end up in are so ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the idea of force feeding someone estrogen laden smoothies, that sounds as if that's quite funny.
Yeah. I guess you laugh so you don't have to cry or something like that. I don't know how people work, but it's just witty dialogue.
Oh, okay. So it's actually laugh out loud.
Yeah. And it's not that any of the amazing cast playing for laughs or that the story's asking for that. It's just that the situation is pretty inherently ridiculous and. As humans, you do laugh.
So yeah.
Some of the things that happen in the house, and there's a scene where the whole family's trying to figure out how to put meth up your bum. You know. And,
oh right.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
sorry.
But you can't do that, can you? Don't you just smoke meth?
No, you can. You can, and we figure it out on the show.
Have a discussion. Richard will be so happy when he comes back.
Sorry, I forgot
this. Yeah, but no, I can see that there's humour in that. So it's quite bizarre, isn't it? The kind of conversations you can have.
Yeah, because they're all at 100 in terms of they're loaded with trauma. They're all convinced
they're wired.
Of their truth. Yeah. So you're just putting four firecrackers together, and of course, you know.
Watching it go.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bizarre thing, isn't it? Like families, this idea that you meet out with people that are different ages and stages than you, but you just kind of hang out. It's quite weird.
Yeah, I never.
In the ideal, yeah.
Full stop. I mean, and what is a normal family these days? There is no such thing as the normal family.
Oh, look, I went out with someone years ago who had a functional family. He really did. His parents.
It was quite boring, wasn't it?
It wasn't. He just didn't get me. That was the trouble. He just didn't get me or my family. So they're quite rare, I think. Or maybe it's just people I hang out with.
I have a friend a bit like that as well. But she has only just moved out and we are almost 26.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Why would she move out if she had a kind of functional, loving family? Where
I don't know. At 26,
perhaps a mum and dad had enough.
There's a door. Which is actually weird, isn't it? It's probably quite a new concept that it's weird to be at home when you're 26.
Well, not where I come from. I left home at 18.
18?
Yeah, that's not unusual.
I think I left home at 18.
Yeah.
I came home again at 19.
I never went home. I think it's a thing now about people living longer at home. I suppose it depends. I mean, like, with a lot of Pacifica families, there's not this idea that, you know, you have to get out and separate as soon as you possibly can. But certainly, you know, where I grew up, that was the idea, that they'd done a good job if you stepped out when you were 18 and you never came back.
But how do you look after yourself? I definitely could not have done that.
Well, it is quite hard. It is very hard. You know, you kind of, yeah, it is. I wouldn't like it for my own girls, but, you know, that's what they've, that, what one of them's done is she's gone off, so... So, yeah, you have to get your resources pretty quickly. Yeah.
I have a lot of friends moving back home with their parents.
Really?
That's cool.
That must be difficult, because...
Saving for the OE.
Well, it's also weird because they're negotiating rent with their parents as well.
I
find that a bit of a weird thing.
And also they're adults, aren't they? So they're coming back as adults, so they're...
That's a good point. Like, when you do get a job and you're still living at home, surely you should pay board.
Well, I would expect that.
50 bucks a week when I was working at 18, and I'm 52. There you go. I was paying 50 bucks a week.
Well, no, I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should.
I think it's only fair.
I think it's only fair.
You know, no one gets a free ride.
I never did, but it was like... I never paid rent when I went back, but I did do a huge portion of the chores.
It's not really rent. It's like, you know, the cost of your food and your bills and stuff like that is quite a lot.
I handled a lot of my expenses and stuff. But it was also like I was doing like the washing for the family and making sure the kitchen was clean and all stuff like that. And I was also a poor student.
So you're not a princess, Georgia. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes. No, I am a princess.
You're not very convinced.
I'm a lovely person. You're a princess, but I'm not a princess as in I'm home. I'm a princess in a good sense. I don't know.
You're not a princess in that you're privileged and you have a massive sense of entitlement. Now, is it time for a bit of my music?
Yes, please, because I would like to hear some.
Richard always brings them in and he makes a good link. And last week I brought something about the stars because
it was cool.
Yeah. But I don't have any link this week. I just like this music.
Oh, cool. What is it?
Yeah, it's we no speak Americano. That doesn't sound like it though, does it?
I believe you have done the wrong.
Oh, okay. I'll try again. Here we go. There we go.
Oh, I love this song.
Poca vichita va bene, se tu la parla piezza americano, quando si fa l'amore sotto la luna, come da bene in cave di I love you, papà l'americano. Papa
Lovely, there we go. That's We Know Speak Americano, and we're back with Kick Arts. We've got Arlo Green talking about here, and we've got the wonderful Captain Festus talking about God knows what.
Just occurred to me, isn't there a really famous person called Arlo Green?
No.
He's that guy who sang I Need a Dollar.
Oh, yeah, the musician in the 70s or 60s.
Was he an Arlo?
He was an Arlo. I'm not sure if he was a Green.
Google it. Arlo Guthrie.
Arlo Guthrie, yes.
He's going back a while.
That's the only other Arlo I know.
I'm typing it into...
I reckon you ran out of puff.
Okay, check it out. Okay, so where were we? Oh, we were talking about theatre and highbrow things, and then we got sidetracked by Captain Festus talking about his tattoos.
Was you talking about your tattoos?
Well, no, I wouldn't get tattoos.
You wouldn't get tattoos?
No. I come from I have a completely different thing about tattoos, but my daughters are definitely going to get inked up as soon as they possibly can. But, yeah.
But you just stop noticing them after a while, that's what my mum says.
Also, she doesn't.
She.
But you've told me that she doesn't. Does she listen to the show?
Oh, no, so she knows...
She knows you have them done.
My leg, and she'll see the other ones soon. Doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. but also, it's not like a secret.
She That's not a very supportive mother, as I was thinking. Your mum needs to wake a game up.
My twin sister
take the interest in what you're doing.
And mum said that she just stops seeing them. Like,
so the thing is, when it's summertime and you've got all that lovely young skin out, and it's all covered in blue and red.
Hopefully lots of sun cream. It costs a fortune to get. Yeah. You don't want to go all wrinkly.
I'm going to come into Kirkats and fall. You're going to go, oh, look at your beautiful tattoo. That's what you're going to say.
You want that rather than look at your beautiful skin.
I didn't think I'd like those, but I really do. That's
are you going to get any further up than your shoulders?
Oh,
any
you
up
mean, like
this
my
way?
Neck?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
And by that I mean no.
Okay.
So you're not keen for a villain tattoo on a body like Arlo?
No, not that I don't love yours, Arlo.
It's a good colour, eh? Yeah.
It's a really good one. It is going to make you a little bit typecast in the acting
Every
field.
Every colour of the rainbow in there.
So is there some significance with swallows? Do they mean something? Like roses mean something, don't they?
Yeah,
and what do swallows mean?
Swallows, okay, my understanding is... And now you're going to be surprised. You're going to be disappointed with how ignorant I am. But my understanding is that sailors, when they were coming back from sea, they would see swallows, and so they signify home.
Oh, that's lovely.
Is that I'm looking at you like you might know?
No, I was thinking something cheeky to say, but I decided to decline.
But you're a sailor, Captain, so you'll know, won't you?
What are you saying?
Everything signifies home.
I couldn't say it. Well, I have a paper bag, to be honest. But you know, yeah.
Don't spoil the illusion.
Yeah, most old school motifs like that will be something like that. Like
nautical.
The two shaking hands that you see a lot, that's about like camaraderie and friendship and like peacemaking and shiz like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's lots of like beautiful ladies because it's like you're out at sea with only men.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sure they totally made up that last one.
And mermaids, yeah.
What about cobras? I always see people with cobras. What does that mean?
Oh God. That's not very nautical.
It means you're a slippery character with quite a bite. Yeah.
Maybe that's a gang. Maybe that's a gang one.
Now a lot of people get cobras.
Do they?
Yeah. My partner has quite an unfortunate tattoo, which it's his one tattoo that I do not like, and he knows that. I call it his snake grave cross something. Snake gate grave cross dagger. It's a dagger going through a skull that's on a grave with a snake going around it.
It's cool. Oh, that's a little bit overkill.
So it's not his pet name.
It's a little bit overkill.
It's so...
Cross-like snake thingy. I love you. It's not
I don't like aggressive tattoos, but that's just my
your thing. Personal preference.
I'll tell you why this is funny. I got one on my chest and it says "Keep it clean" with boxing cats, and the irony is I ended up being a bloody cleaner.
That's cool.
And then when I wear a shirt, all it says is "it."
So I can see, viewers or listeners can't see, but I can see that most of your chest and arms are done.
Yeah, I've got my belly done too.
Really?
Yeah, like it says,
that hurts,
it says pot of gold.
Oh my gosh.
It gets bigger actually, every year.
It's actually... that's actually hurts, quite beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't it...
You're not flirting, are you?
I am a little bit.
I thought so.
It does. I thought it didn't hurt on fat. Like getting your...
What are you saying? What are you saying?
But like she's saying that it hurts on your tummy.
Bleeding hurts everywhere.
Fatty, you mean? So, like, your stomach as opposed to, like, the inside of your...
Your bony bits of your legs and things like that, I would have...
Without giving away too much, though, I have got a bit of a fat belly. it does actually really hurt on your belly. It's probably the most painful place I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I thought I was going to poke my toes through my shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When they offered to touch it up for free, I said, no, thank you.
No. Oh, okay. Look, we're getting great information on this show.
Your whole chest is quite bad. Like, your chest, your stomach... Mm. It's meant to be quite bad.
Elbows are good.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose they're pretty insensitive, aren't they?
And then
tattooists?
And then if you get the inside of your thighs and the inside of your upper arm, it's sore.
I would, because if you ever get pinched on your upper arm, it really hurts.
The word I would use is spicy.
Okay.
Like, it's just like, oh, ow, that, you know, it's like, I'd like you to stop that. But okay. The rest of it... But the inside, the just a little bit inside my leg and upside the behind my knee. What's that called? Like that bit behind your knee on the backside of your leg. That hurt.
It's a tickly place.
Everywhere else, I found totally fine.
Okay. All right.
Any words of advice for someone who's looking to get a tattoo?
Don't take painkillers.
Avoid one that's dyslexic.
Yeah. And
Do it when you're drunk.
And I would actually go to someone who I'd go to someone who's a bit, not someone who's super expensive, but go to somewhere like Two Hands or Sunset where they've got a bit more street cred, because I think they've got a good idea of what their style is and what kind of needles they're going to use and everything like that. Whereas you can go to places that are like a factory, they just churn it out, and then maybe they'll use, like, you know, a needle that's not so appropriate or a colour that's not so appropriate for what you're actually wanting. But I would go to someone who, like, you know, totally is, you know, really, like, indulges in the style that they like. That's what I'd do. That's my...
Have you ever been tempted to do one with a needle and a piece of cotton?
Have I done...
Well, do it your own.
The old school.
What, like a stick and poke?
Yeah, yes. I've known that term before. That's a good one.
Yeah, but I would like a stick and poke. Do you want to give me a stick and poke?
Oh, you mean?
After the show. Anyway, can we talk a little more about families? I know you're a family troupe, but also it seems like that in her, the basis of the show is a lot about families and dysfunctional families and the way that families kind of work out. Without giving too much away about her, is there, like, a resolution at the end? You said it was a little bit sticky at the end.
I guess, well, it's a story. All of them come to some sort of resolution, whether it's satisfying or not.
Okay.
Here does leave all the characters an interesting place. I think it would take away from the experience if I gave that away. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's a bit like Rambo's End. You come in, you sit down... We'll take you for a ride, and then afterwards you can all
get sick.
Have you been to Rainbow's Inn lately?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's
I went nice. There last school Monday. It's bleeding expensive.
It was actually
took a little wee monkey with me.
Did you go on the log flume?
I did.
It was kind of
it was fun.
Yeah, it really is, because you're going along and you have all these memories of how magical it was, but then you see like a Red Bull can and
no.
Like a crunchy wrapper and like in the water and stuff.
Chased by a little log.
Yeah. It's just not. It's
a little
magic.
Bit grot. Is it a little bit grot?
I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't know. You go on
I've
the
only
Fear
ever
Fall
been
and
once.
Then you just look at the motorway and you look.
The old
at
roller coaster was a bit scarier than I remembered.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And did you try the new one, the big one?
No, wasn't it brave?
No, really.
Out of my league.
I went on, I recently went, my partner and I were like, it was our anniversary, we were like, what are you going to do? And then we were like, let's take the day off and go to Rainbow's End. Like, we thought that would be a good idea.
Oh, that's not very romantic, though, is it? Where is romance with you youngsters, honestly?
I know. And he had quite a big night the night before, so he was feeling a bit seedy, and I get really motion sick. So
sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It was a good date. It wasn't good. But then I had a 4-hour nap, so that was good.
At Rainbow's End?
No, after Rainbow's End.
In the ghost train. Yeah. Just kept going round and
round. Was that the two cans of cider before you went in?
Two cans? No. But if people want to do stuff with their kids, like Rainbow's End, isn't there a great place in Henderson? That started up by, it's like a local theatre company, and they've like made this great place.
Oh.
It's like a little adventure.
Tell us more. That sounds great.
I forget what it's called, but I'm going to look it up right now.
Look it up now. So a place in Henderson, near Teatro 2.
And they do, they do theatre shows and stuff.
Oh, you're talking about Woe Studios.
Yes.
Yeah, I know Woe Studios.
What's Woe Studios? How's
it
spelled?
It's a place in Henderson, and they they have little puppets, and they do little shows and stuff, and it's all right.
I heard that it's a really cool thing to do with the kids.
But it's not a fun fair. It's not like...
I don't know. I heard there was games and stuff. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, I think the thing with Rainbow's End is that there's only Rainbow's End. There's nowhere else for people to go, so...
I have to say...
Rocket Park?
Woe Studio does have a very good climbing thing. It's actually like a big macrame, and it's done by some Japanese artist. And it cost them a fortune, and it's constructed in the back of the garden here, Woe Studios, and the kids can go absolutely bonkers on there. And it is actually quite good.
Is it still school holidays?
No, they finished. Okay. We're back tomorrow.
That's all the parents going, term, oh, thank
term
God.
Term three. The beginning of term three. All right. So, let's talk a little bit more about families. No, we've exhausted the families thing, haven't we? I was just thinking about... who else is involved in your show? So, Rima Te Wieta?
Yeah. Te Wieta.
Te Wieta.
Yeah. Fantastic. So fantastic. It's like a perfect aligning of stars where you have Sophie Roberts, one of the best directors in the country, guiding one of our best actors.
She's Rima. Iconic, that woman.
Sophie.
No, the other ones, well.
Oh, both of them. Yeah. Directing one of our best actors with some of the best writing I've read in since I've started to read writing, which was, I don't know.
So what a great gig for you.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. It's a bit stressful trying to keep up with everyone. But,
but a good stress.
Yeah, but she's so amazing that hopefully more eyes will be on her than... you know what I mean?
No.
I'll try and act with
you. You're not really a typical actor. Please don't watch me.
No. But Sophie's brought the best out of everyone, and everyone already was bringing their best.
Yeah.
So I really, it's not often that I'm this just into
in
a
all?
Show.
Right.
Yeah. It's something that even if I wasn't a part of, I would go to and. It'd be unlike anything else. And I think it's really, really good for people that have never seen theatre before.
Yeah.
Because it will get you addicted. Because because there's nothing like being in that room with those people. And you buy it. You buy the whole thing. And you walk away. And it'll stay with you. It really will. It's...
Because that's often the thing that's said, isn't it? It's like, oh, well, I'd rather go to a movie. You know, I know quite a few people say, I'd rather go to a movie. But what is it about this that is going to be better than going and sitting in an event cinema?
Well, I think if you go in never having seen theatre before, you go in and you go, oh, that's pretty cool. Their accents are pretty cool. You know, that's kind of looks like a believable house. And slowly but surely you start to forget that everybody's acting. I think everyone's selling it that well. Everyone's put that much into it, and by the end you need them to bow. You need the curtains to go, because you're like, no, I don't want this to be real, because it's that hectic of a journey. And you just invest. I think everybody in that room will invest into what Taylor's created, into the world that Silo and Sophie have built. I think it's I couldn't say enough about it, and I'll personally refund anyone that doesn't.
Oh, really? My God. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, you heard it here.
Because I'd be surprised. If
have you got any comps?
I don't know.
Because I'm your mate, you know.
I have to contact Alison.
Just meet you tonight. And see. Yeah, you're certainly selling it well. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, that sounds amazing. Because there is a lot on. There's a lot on. And we were talking about it last week, weren't we, Georgia, about why is there not a City Limits or a timeout where we can actually just read in one place what's on, you know, a couple of reviews, and, you know, rather than everybody does their own marketing and their own PR, don't they? So if there was kind of a Bible that you just went to and said, oh, what's this on? I mean, I know some people go to see stuff at the basement all the time. They kind of think, I'll see whatever's on at the basement.
But it's good to see, like, a variety, you know, because, like, quite often, you know, on a Thursday or Friday, someone might be like, oh, I'd really like to go see some music tonight, or I'd like to go see a movie, and there's one place that you can go and look that up. But in terms of theatre, we don't really have that, you know, and that we were just thinking that would be a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because there is so much on, it's hard to choose.
It is. And also with TV, because there's such a massive amount on TV with all the streamings and all the different things.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Even I was talking to someone today, they were saying I should get Neon. And it was like, well, what's the difference between Neon and Netflix and Lightbox? And
do you actually legitimately use those platforms?
Oh, I use Netflix, and now I guess I use Neon. I downloaded it for a two-week free trial.
Okay.
I'll let you know how it goes.
They're all a bit of a novelty at first, though. I mean, you know, you pick out the good things, and you think, well, this is amazing, and then it all becomes much a muchness before long.
Well, there's such a lot, isn't there? I mean, it's just like they're churning massive amount of stuff out all the time. Because people are voracious, and because there's that kind of binge. I don't binge watch, but I know some people who do binge watch. So, you know, something that we all happily sat down and watch once a week for 8 weeks, now people just watch it on a weekend and then move on.
Well,
so
it's amazing as well how you can be like, just without even realising, so much time can go down the drain.
It's a little bit of a worry.
But there's no, doesn't seem to be much anyway, like interaction. Whereas if you go and see a piece of theatre, it's like you're actually, I love that moment where you go, wow, if I yelled something out right now, like something would happen.
It would have an effect.
Yeah, whereas if I do it at the TV, nothing happens. Yeah. You know, it's like it's real, it's live, it's happening right in front of you, and there's something, so, you know, like that person right down there speaking right now, there's something going through their head right here in front of me. It's crazy, real time.
Well, I do really like the theatre where you forget that you're in a theatre, or, you know, you actually feel so absorbed in what's happening or the dynamic of what's happening that, you know, you're not kind of thinking of the design or the blocking or any of all that kind of stuff. I mean, I had that with The Changeling recently. I talked about that, where, you know, it was in a cabaret style, and so everybody was at tables, and the action took place, like, sometimes people came in behind you, or sometimes they came at the side, or sometimes...
Was that at Kew Theatre?
No, it was at the university.
Oh, okay.
So it was really small.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any set place where the action took place. It could have taken place anywhere, you know. And it was quite dark, and a lot of the actors, the lighting was, they used torches and things. So you did get this real kind of sense of atmosphere and claustrophobia and people being right on top of you. I mean, the idea that people can come in right behind you is a bit unsettling. And usually when you go and see like a Prozarch piece of theatre, you know, you're very clearly in the audience and you kind of ho 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 ho, and they bring the lights down and you know, you're one step removed. Well, but you're saying with this that you're actually drawn into this family.
Yeah, you'd have a hard time not being sucked in. I think the space, the Herald Theatre, it's such a steep, it's got a, there's a word for it, rake.
Great.
I just learned that word, I don't know. But yeah, like the person in front of you, their head is by your shins.
Right.
So it's just you taking it in, you know, there's no sort of relief of seeing heads and being like, oh, it's a show. You just buy into it and, it's a very intimate space and...
Is it a long show? How long does it run?
It's not too long. It actually goes pretty quick. It's about 2 hours within an
interval. My God, that's a long. So you have a break in the middle?
There's an interval.
Yep. We have long discussions about the intervals or not to interval.
We often talk about how long. Because it seems as though shows most often are
getting shorter.
Yeah. But I have nothing against a longer show if there's an interval.
So you're going to go along?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally sold.
I'd
hope to see you all there.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds so intriguing. Yeah, I can see how wit would play a really appropriate role in that as well. Yeah.
There's even an original ukulele song.
So oh, really?
Well, it's funny you should say that. See what you think of it.
Shall we have another little bit of ukulele?
I could do a poem.
Oh, yes, please.
I've got quite a funny little poem.
Okay.
It's called The Fly Poem. Sit up straight upon the chair, said the spider to the fly. Otherwise, I'll take this pencil, stick it in your eye. But the fly, he laughed. Ha ha hee hee, I know you're only joking. But no, the spider took the pencil and he started poking. One, sir, two, sir, three, sir, four. Sit up straight or see no more. I told you once, I told you twice. And now it's time to pay the price. Well, the fly, he cried, oh, woe is me. My eyes are blind and I cannot see. What did I do? What have you done? My eyes are blind and it's not much fun. Well, the spider smiled and then he said, be grateful, friend, that you are not dead. Be thankful, and it's just your eyes. Because a spider likes to feast on flies.
Oh, nice one. Yay.
I love that. How did you come up with that? How do you get inspiration for that?
I have no idea. I don't question
it. Weird little mind. Just write it down.
Slowly.
Do you do illustrations by any chance?
No, but it's funny you should say that because I've written a book and it's a book called Wally the Whale. And I've got a chap called Will Saunders.
Okay.
Who's doing some animation, some cartoon stuff for me at the moment. And he's just worked on the album cover of my fourth album as well. He plays rock and roll as well. He's in a band called Low Fidelity.
Yeah.
And I did, he supported, what's his name? Matlock from Sex Pistols. So he's getting around the place. I think he's playing with Bernie Griffin and the Thin Men just recently as well. So he's doing a lot of artwork for me at the moment. And before that, I was working alongside Elliot Stewart. And if you know Elliot Stewart, he's another amazing artist. So I've had some very clever people doing me drawings.
There's a lot of multi-talented people around, aren't there?
We're
people who do a lot
country.
Of different things. Mm. You know, I mean, maybe is it? Do you think it's because people have to? They need to be able to do more than one thing. Arlo, are you anything other than an actor?
No, I'm not really good at anything else. Do you know what I mean? Acting's the only thing I'm.
Part of villainy.
Villainy, yeah, but that's. We're keeping that under wraps.
He does that as a sideline.
That's a side job. I think you've actually touched on something quite good in that the creative industry doesn't pay here, if we're honest. Yeah, yeah, and
you're opening up a can of worms here, mate. Yeah, well, you know that.
I don't want to.
We do. We know.
No, go for it. We discussed this endlessly.
I know,
on
the show.
It can't not come up in discussions about that.
It's
being
tough
artist.
Here. It's tough.
Yeah,
here.
I think our really creative is. Industry is in a bit of a pickle, and that's why I feel grateful to work for places like Silo, because you have the pop-up globe who don't know how to cast and don't know how to put on shows because they're all a bunch of Muppets. Then you've got consumers and television. There's not enough money in it, so a lot of it's sad to see a lot of performers and creatives at world class calibers having to do gardening as well, having to make coffees as well. And
I know a number who have another separate career. You know, they're not just doing baristing, but they're also like funeral directors or stuff like that.
I just wonder if we had better pay, if we had equal casting and intersectional. I mean, for the queer community, for females, and it would just give them 100%. They could dedicate 100% of their time to creating things, and what they'd produce would be just 10 times more amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's if you only have 5 minutes a day to write a book, it's not going to be as good as if you had a whole month. You know, I think the creative industry is definitely overlooked, and the people in power in the creative industry aren't always leading in the right way, especially with the examples at the pop up and it's a real shame. But we're trying, aren't we?
Well, I think, and also when you're doing it yourself, I think you get there's so much. I know for myself, it's you get so wrapped up in the administrative side of it,
right?
Yeah.
The marketing, the booking, the phone calls, the emails, you end up just having so little time to actually focus on your craft. I think that's a common problem too. It's to find a good booking agent or a good manager would certainly be a big step forward for us, because, I mean, it's me. So all my time with everything I do is me. I have to do it.
Yeah.
And to have somebody who could take some of that and help steer would be huge, because it would have, I'd have
to, it would free you up. It's exactly what you're talking about, Arlo, isn't it?
I just want to perform. Yeah. I just want to do what I really enjoy. I don't want to do the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's very hard to find that balance.
Yeah.
You want to get your hours in and master it, do you know what I mean? It's just going to take you a longer time to master it if you've got all these
sidelines. It's interesting too, because you get people think, oh, yeah, he's just arty-farty, you know, cruising around drinking all day and whatever. But no, actually, you end up working more than 40 hours a week doing what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're continually selling yourself. Mm. You're continually trying to move forward and trying to meet the right people and trying to organise gigs. It's just endless. So, I mean, it's more than a full-time job. It's a bleeding curse at times, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
This is what I do, and this is what I do well, and this is my path. So it's... just got to get over it.
Well, yeah, I think that is that I'm always struck by how much great stuff there is on continually in Auckland, and the caliber of the actors and the directors and the designers, and yeah, there is just a massive amount to choose from. And that, you know, I go to things because I do reviews for Richard sometimes that you can't get other reviewers to do. So I've done, I went to see Flashdance on at the Civic, and it was absolutely packed out. You know, it's the old movie Flashdance, but it's a musical. It was on tour.
The original.
It's lovely to do it in the Civic, and it was absolutely packed. And this had been touring all over the world for ages, and it really showed in the cast. They were like so tired. Mm. Apart from the principals who were really like giving it all the, you know, the musical theatre stuff. But everybody got up and they were dancing and they were singing and everything. And there was a massive audience. And I thought there's, you know, there is an audience for certain stuff, like seeing The Graduate at the Maidment or something like that. And I kind of think, I'd rather watch the film of The Graduate than see a you know. So the really interesting stuff, it's always hard getting bums on seats.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, because even though I went and saw a really great musical a couple of, or maybe 6 weeks ago, called Yodrick at Q, which is like this dark musical.
But it was I've never even heard of it.
It was so incredible, and I was just thinking, man, like so many people, you know, it's slightly different. It's a bit kookier, but a lot of people that would enjoy something like Priscilla, you know, would actually enjoy something like Yodrick as well, you know. But it's just, it's more of an amateur, in inverted commas, kind of a cast, and it's a first screening, you know. But it's like people can actually get there and support things.
But the other thing that I know is that the kind of PR companies and the marketers, they actually make an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and charge a really high fee. So people are going to take that work away from you, say, oh, I'll do it, I'll market you, and I'll do all that kind of thing. They get very well paid. Yeah. It seems like the performers are the ones who are the last in line to get paid. So the lighting person will get paid, but the actors, is it because people think that you get so much out of doing it that you don't need any money as well? Do you think that's it?
No.
Because there is that culture. There is a culture where actors, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, actors, you know, they love it. You know, we can just pay them expenses.
I guess for us, we've had to draw the line and say, this is what we're worth. And if we don't get a job because they haven't got the budget, we don't do it. And as much as that's hard.
No, I think it's important.
Than actually cutting your own throat. You've got to set your boundaries. I can remember one gig we took, and they said, oh, we're going to have to cut your fee. I said, why is that? And she said, well, we need to hire another port-a-loo. And I thought, you're kidding me. That's true, sorry.
But people always think that, they'll do it for exposure, they'll do it for the experience. It happens all the time with photographers as well.
Oh, exactly. Do it for the exposure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. The trouble is, at the same time, you've got all the up-and-comers as well, who will do it for cheaper.
Absolutely.
So, you won't do it, someone else will do it.
I know, but you're a pretty distinctive brand, aren't you?
We're not everybody's cup of tea. I mean, we aren't sugary. We're definitely not sugary. We push boundaries. We're very old school, Monty Python, Spike Milligan, a little bit cheeky, but very much family.
We're gonna
push boundaries, and we are going to have the odd person that is not going to like what we do. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. Mm. So we aren't everyone's cup of tea, and, yeah. It's just the way we just do what we do. But we did have to set a line. You can't do things for nothing. I work with contractors. And I work with really good contractors, good top-end musicians and actors. So I have to pay them before I get paid. So it was just finding a balance of how we could all kind of win. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I do other jobs as well. I teach drums to kids. In my spare time, I have a rehearsal room where I rent out a room for bands in the evenings, and that enables me to live my dream.
That's giving back to the community as well. We have such a lack of rehearsal spaces in Auckland.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, people don't realise. But you can make a buck doing that.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah. There isn't enough.
You mean for band rehearsal space or theatre?
All sorts, actually, yeah.
And dance is a huge one as well, to find a place with suitable floors.
Well, finding a room with good gear is often a hard thing. But then that's often down to the calibre of the people using the gear. So I've tried to focus for top end. So we've got good gear, good clean room. And I had some amazing bands coming through. Solar Rosa, D4, His Master's Voice, Table Fox. Who else? Cat Tunks has been through. Yeah, we have some good bands coming through, and they appreciate a good, clean space with good gear, good sounding room. But there's not a lot of money to be made in doing that.
You don't think so?
There's a bottom line of 3 hours, $60. You start taking GST off that. And
that's the equipment as well?
That's equipment as well. That is your normal rehearsal space, $60.
Wow.
And that's next to nothing. So I don't know how rehearsal rooms actually make that work.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's a lot of money for the person who's paying it, but actually to be getting it back after 15, you pay for all your expenses.
$15 for a four-piece, you know, to go and play your music as loud as you like for 3 hours through good gear.
Yeah.
It's $15 for 3 hours per member of a four-piece band. It's next to nothing.
If you're making it's money cheap. As the band, though.
Yeah, I guess we come back down to what you really want to do.
It's like the people, the artists, are scrabbling around and other people are actually making an okay living. That's kind of what I was saying. So, we want to come and see your show, Arlo. Tell us where we're going to find it and when we're going to find it and how and for how long.
You can come and find it at the Herald Theatre. You can go to silotheatre.co.nz to buy your tickets. It's on the 2nd of August through to the 25th. The Herald doesn't seat too many people.
Oh, so, do you know how many?
Less than 200.
Oh,
slightly,
really?
Slightly less, yeah. So that's part of the intimate experience, but also that means you have to get in quick.
Get a move on. Okay, 2nd to the 25th of August at the Herald Theatre.
Yep, amazing team, amazing play.
I actually saw one of the posters today and it really... Yeah, it really grabbed my eyes. I went by. I said,
There's one with Nathaniel Lees, who's just acting legend. They both look gorgeous in the
posters. Yeah, someone's done a really good job with those posters.
Also has a silo newcomer, Adam Rohe, who's...
I love Adam.
Oh, he's amazing.
Where have I heard of him?
Well, Adam has been on the show a few times. He's a good friend.
I was meant to say something to Richard, but I guess I can't.
Adam has come in as a part of Ugly Shakespeare Company. He was also
directed
the Pākehā version of The Cheers,
which was amazing,
brilliant. Yeah.
Did you see it?
He was here a few weeks ago.
Good.
Yep.
So good. Yep.
Adam on stage is something else. Nathaniel on stage, Rima on stage, all of them, even me. We're all everybody's put everything.
I'm going to come and say hi. Hello.
During mid-show,
just
looking
at you.
During the show.
Sounds brilliant.
The whole time.
Okay, Captain.
Yes.
Give us a few deets. You've got a great poster there.
Well, I do. We've got this Family Fun Day mashup coming up, and that is August the 11th. That's at the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre. And that is with my wonderful travelling variety show with Le Cirque de JP. He's a circus entertainer, French chap, very good. And Otis Mason, the 1B4s, so that's coming up August the 11th. That starts at 12 midday, goes through to 4:30, and it's free.
Oh, it's amazing. Sounds great. It's got the disco. Yeah.
Well, that's the joys of faux local board funding.
Yeah.
So we've got community funding. So
yes, well, it's
so thank
process,
you to them.
But we have, very, very stoked about that. But I tell you what, in terms of another thing about being stoked about, is that New Zealand On Air have just come on board to... make grants available for family music, which is amazing.
That's so cool.
That's a massive step forward. It's a real recognition of family music.
Yeah.
It's massive. And so we applied in the first round, and we managed to receive a grant with enough to produce 3 music videos and finish our 3rd album, which is amazing. So this is a very new thing. New Zealand on Air it's taken a while to sort of just, I guess, what we did initially was we formed, a few of us formed this music collective, which is the Kiwi Kids Music Collective, and it basically joined us together like a unity of all these musicians, and it's slowly starting to be accepted as being something that just to be cherished. And so consequently APRA got on board and helped us with compilation CDs that are distributed around New Zealand for free to raise awareness. We've also managed to, New Zealand are now on board, so they're offering us grants for that as well, which is, it's massive. It's made a huge difference.
So are those grants up for grabs for family musicians?
Twice a year. So the next one, I think, is in August, the deadline.
Which is coming up.
Coming up soon.
That's such a cool thing.
So things are really moving ahead in the family music industry. I mean, there's the Hey Hey new app, kids app. That's TVNZ. That started up. So they're taking on family music videos and all sorts of stuff now. So there's starting to be outlets and platforms for this genre of music, which is amazing.
So why do you think this has happened now? Is it just like a slow drip effect?
I think it's just got to the point where you can't ignore it. We've got some really great musicians doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all come from original rock bands and whatnot, and different genres, but we're producing this quality music, which is on par with what's around the world
internationally.
So it's just been a case of little steps, and finally we're starting to be seen as something worth providing grants for,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
That's great news. Mm. That's really good.
So we're really pleased about that. Very grateful.
Yeah, well done.
So
yeah,
we just released our first video. Was the beginning of June. And a song called Moolah, which is available. You can see it on YouTube and stuff. And if you go to my website, CaptainFestus.com, you can check it out on there.
Okay.
We've got 12,000 views now.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing.
That's really good.
FESTUS. So CaptainFestus.com. That'll get you onto there. And
there'll be clips and things.
Yeah, there's all sorts of showreel stuff. I guess for us, being a live act trying to sell itself, we focused all our money on actually producing showreels, which is more about selling the product.
Mm-hmm.
But this has given us the opportunity to produce music videos, which is a luxury, really. Yeah. So, we're about to start our second one next weekend. We're shooting the second video for a song called The Little Things, which is a beautiful little song. So that's the second one. And then the third one will be in about 2 months after that, and then we'll release the album at the end of the year, so...
Oh, this is exciting.
Bang in time for Christmas. Bubbles and Squeak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds great.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
So that's good. That's some good news, isn't it? Big shout out there to them. And Georgia.
Kia ora.
Have you got anything this week that you're going to see, going to do in your lovely, glamorous life?
I don't have a lovely, glamorous life.
Oh, you
but
do,
But I was actually going to say that I'm not going to do anything. But actually... this coming weekend is such an exciting weekend in the arts community, I think.
Oh.
I just keep seeing things appear that are so exciting. Polyester are doing an album release party, I think at Galatos or maybe Wormy, on Friday night. And I've played their music a couple of times on here. And they're really great. And then also... on the same night. Oh, no, that's on Saturday night. Soaked Oats, amazing band from Dunedin, are going to be playing on, I'm going to say, Friday night at Galatos. So it's not Polyester at Galatos, they must be at Whammy. And then also at Whammy on Saturday night, the Sal Valentine Maxine single release party. Those would be my 3 picks for the weekend. Also, if you're in Tararangi, they have the Razza Jam night on a Friday night. And I've heard that's a great time.
Nothing wrong with the Razza.
So much on.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah.
My little brother, who's actually a very cool dude, that's what he likes to do when the Razza jam night is on. He likes to go to Razza, have a jam. He's like a cool person. And that's...
So what do you mean have a jam? You just take an instrument and jam along?
I've never been. Have you been?
Jam nights, yeah. I mean, you just basically tune up and put your name on a list and you do your thing.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just a chance to meet other musicians and a chance to hone your craft and, yeah.
Maybe talk about the war. It's at the Reza.
Don't get that one.
You know, because it's at the RSA.
Oh, sorry. Is that what the Reza is?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm so ignorant. I thought RSA. I thought it was like, yeah.
No, at the RSA.
Honestly, I just get so much education from you.
I'm full of knowledge.
You are. So, what am I doing this week? I'm probably reading some more of Ben Aronovich.
And, it does sound good. Harry Potter for adults.
Not but it's like, but they're like he's a policeman. It's Peter Grant, he's a policeman, so there's like mysteries. It's set in London and it'll center around a crime or something like that. It's kind of got that whole crime thing going. I wondered whether you could play us a little bit just to finish off, but I've got to be careful that I don't cut off the end again. So what I'll do is, you are willing to play for us? I'm just going to say thank yous now. Yeah, and then that's thank you to you guys for being such a great bunch of guests. It's been a great show.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck and hope everything goes well. I know it's going to be. And to listeners, tune in next week at 8. And I've been Paula Crimmins. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. So go out there and kick some arts. But we'll just have a little bit of Captain McFestus playing.
I'm going to attempt to play the new single. It's called The Little Things in Life.
Brilliant. Go for it. Let's go.
Little things in life to make you happy. Little things in life to make you smile. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Tend to make you happy for a while. All the little things are soups upon the table. Little extra strawberry in the cream. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to cancer for the queen. Because those little things in life that make you happy. Little things in life to make you smile. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Well, they tend to make you happy for a while. All the little things are soups upon the table. Little extra strawberry in the cream. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day I got to get to go. Because those little things in life that make you happy. Little things in life that make you glad. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Make you grateful for the things that you've had. All the little things are soups upon the table. Little extra strawberry in the cream. Little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day I got to get to go.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yes, please. Let's have it.
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit quicker.
Getting fancy now.
Go for it.
Because those little things in life will make you happy. Little things in life will make you glad. Things that you have had. Oh, no, they don't think it's also on the table. Little extra strawberry and the cream. Little things you like to tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to get to go on the cream.
Thank you.
That was
so
great.
When does it come out?
It's coming out probably mid-August.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
It's been a great show. Hope to see you again soon. Go out and kick some arts.
Take care, all.
Shabba-dabba-doo!